good health, and longevity.
Our goal, of course, is to have everybody die after 120. I don't care if it's 150 or 200, whatever it is. We have the capacity, we have the knowledge to get you well beyond 100, no doubt about it. Everybody, when they die past 120, should only have two pieces of paper in your health chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. If you have a 4-inch thick health chart full of all these surgeries and all these diseases, your doctor has failed you, the system has failed you. And we want to be known as the Home Depot of health. We want people, when they think of health, well, I'm not going to run to the doctor. I can do this myself. Just like when you're going to lay tile in your house. Does everybody call a contractor now? No, they say, I'm going to run to Home Depot and price some tile there. And so we have the capacity. Again, all the experts in genetics and gerontology tell us that we have the capacity very clearly to live to be 100. It's not like it's a secret. Everybody agrees on that. It's not a mystery. It's not a fable we're coming up with that you can live to be well beyond 100. People do it all the time. How many, raise your hand, have you ever made a dish from a recipe, a cookbook, a magazine, card collection? I mean, we've all done that. I mean, us guys, you know, they don't raise their hands, but yeah, they love to cook. Make pancakes, make Pillsbury Doughboy muffins, you know. And the reason why they put pictures in cookbooks and things like that is so that you know where you're going. Okay, that's why they put the pictures there. The same thing is true when it comes to health care. We've been using the same recipe, if you will, for health care in the industrialized nations for over 300 years. And so we can predict what the recipe outcome is going to be. We can predict that already. We know what a 25-year-old looks like. We know what a 50-year-old looks like. We know what a 75-year-old looks like and a 100-year-old and so forth. And so you can kind of look down the line. And if you follow your doctor's instructions, you eat the way everybody's eating, you know what you're going to look like. Well, this is a pretty typical 85-year-old American. You're in a nursing home. You have Alzheimer's disease. You have macular degeneration. You've had cataract operations. You're deaf. Your teeth are gone because you had periodontal disease, which is osteoporosis of the face and jaw. Your thyroid has been removed for many reasons, so you're on drugs. You've had your shoulders replaced. You've had carpal tunnel surgeries. You've had your finger joints replaced. You've had multiple back surgeries. You've had angiograms, angioplasties. Stents have been inserted in your coronary arteries. You've had quadruple bypass. You've had a heart transplant. You've had maybe one lobe or an entire lung removed for many different things, including lung cancer, which is the most common cause of cancer in both men and women, regardless if you smoke or not. 95% of the people who get lung cancer don't smoke. Never did smoke. That's because they're frying the fish after church and inhaling all those free radicals coming out of that frying oil. And then you can have your stomach banded and bypassed to lose weight. Or maybe you had ulcers and had your stomach removed. You've had kidneys removed. You've had kidney stone operations. You've had gallbladders removed. You've had your colon removed for polyps and cancer. Women have had hysterectomy and men have had their prostate gland removed. And by the way, the newest information on the PSA, how many of you heard of the PSA test, ladies and gentlemen, you know, for prostate activity? Since 1987 to now, when they actually done the survey, when they removed prostates because they thought it was cancerous by actual biopsy, only 2% were actually cancerous. 98% false alarm. No man who's done everything right has ever died from prostate cancer. You can die at 80 and have prostate cancer, but the prostate cancer didn't kill you. Nobody should ever die of prostate cancer. They've had hip replacements, knee replacements. Feet have been amputated because they had diabetes. They're on 25 different medications for lowering cholesterol, for dealing with blood pressure, for thyroid, for diabetes and many a pain and so forth. And if you follow the doctor's instructions, this is where you're going. This is where you're going to wind up. Wah! I mean, I'm excited. This is the recipe I want. I'm going to follow this recipe. No, I'm not too excited about that one. Maybe we have to get rich to live a long time. Well, there's never been a billionaire who lived to be 100. Think about it. Now, if money were important to living to be 100, you'd think that billionaires would live to be 100. There's never been a single one. This is from Forbes magazine. They said the average lifespan for billionaires is 78. The youngest one to die was 58 years old. He was the richest man in the United States. He was the heir to the Walmart empire. His daddy, old Sam Walton, when he died, left his entire empire to this guy, and he died at 58. The richest man in America died at 58. You see, money didn't help him at all, did it? I know, it's intelligence. That's it. We got to get more degrees in school. That'll do it. There's never been a Nobel Prize winner ever lived to be 100. Linus Pauling came close. The only guy who ever had two unshared Nobel Prizes, got to be smart, died of prostate cancer. You don't have to do that, right? Died of prostate cancer at 94. So there's never been a billionaire who lived to be 100. There's never been a Nobel Prize winner who lived to be 100. Why didn't I think of it before? It's fitness. That's what it is. Everybody says, doctors say fitness is good for you. You got to exercise. Don't worry about supplementing because you get everything you need from your food, but just exercise. With the exception of two black gentlemen from the old Negro Baseball League days in the 1920s and 30s, there's never been a professional athlete ever lived to be 100. Now, fitness is important. You'd think a significant number of professional athletes would be living to be 100 because not only do this fitness thing, but they also have lots of money. So money and fitness combined doesn't save athletes. The average lifespan for professional athletes is 62. I want to go there. So what is it? What is it? How do people live to be 100? So we know it's not money. We know it's not intelligence. It's not fitness. So how do people live to be 100? Again, we can extrapolate information from animals. We've, in the last 75 years, tripled the lifespans of animals. Pet animals, laboratory animals, farm animals, we've tripled the lifespans. Do we do that with wonder drugs? No. Do we do that with genetically engineered protein stem cells? Do we do that with heart transplants? No. We did it just by tinkering with the vitamins and minerals and the essential fatty acids and the amino acids in their little food. Human beings need 90 essential nutrients. You all know that. We need 16 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, 3 essential fatty acids. And fortunately for us, our food plants, our grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts can take carbon dioxide from the air, use the sun's energy, and a process known as photosynthesis to manufacture carbon compounds. Wood, cellulose, starch, sugar, vitamins, amino acids, fatty acids. Yeah, plants can do all that. But you'll notice that plants cannot manufacture minerals. Plants cannot manufacture minerals. And 2/3 of the 90 essential nutrients are minerals. That's why we like to focus on minerals. Because even a blind hog can get an acorn sometime, as my daddy used to say. Which means that even if you're eating a cheeseburger with lettuce and tomatoes and onions on it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you can get some vitamins. You're going to get some vitamin C and beta-carotene and folic acid from the lettuce and tomatoes and onions. You're going to get some omega-3 essential fatty acids from the onions and the little sesame seeds on the top of the bun. You're going to get some B vitamin from the vitamin B-enriched white flour in the bun. You're going to get some amino acids from the cheese, if it's real cheese, and the meat. You might get some calcium if it's real cheese on the sandwich, but that's it. But you could live to be 18 to 20 years of age. You might even be able to have babies and be fertile, you know, until 18, 20 years of age. But if all you're living on is hamburgers or cheeseburgers with lettuce and tomatoes and onions on a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you're in trouble because plants cannot manufacture minerals. And most of our degenerative diseases, most of the things that kill us and worry us as we live are mineral deficiency diseases. Plants only need 9 minerals to be happy. We need 60. Plants can do very well on 3 elements, NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Farmers cannot afford to put in all 60 essential minerals. That's why they give animals pellets to make up that difference. They give them the pellets with all the nutrients in it to make up the difference because they don't know how many minerals are in that pasture. They could analyze it, but are they going to put 60 minerals in this pasture, this 10-acre pasture for these cows? No. So it's cheaper just to give the cow the pellets. The longest-lived people in the industrialized nations, the one that have the highest average of longevity, are the Okinawans, and they live to be 85 on the average, and we live somewhere around 70, 72 on the average in America. And you go to Okinawa, their soil is nothing but red sandy clay, much like the state of Georgia. There's a little bit of extra iron in there, but that wouldn't explain they're 15 years living longer than us. And so I went there, spent almost a week, spent the first couple of days at the Department of Agriculture studying the soil and soil chemistry and plant chemistry there in Okinawa. Didn't find out anything really unique. And then we talked to the old people. We talked about 15 of them. Half of them were men, 7 of them were men, 8 were women. These were all 100-plus-year-olds. And we only had to ask one question because this is a 25-year study. 25-year study in the Okinawans. It was identical twin doctors. One got a medical degree from Harvard. The other got his PhD in pharmacy. And they spent 25 years there trying to figure out why the Okinawans lived so long. They counted how many steps they took, how many times a day they took a pee, what the volume of their pee was, how many hours they slept, how many calories they took in. At the end of the 25 years, they said, "We don't know. I don't know." And so we weren't going to re-ask these questions. We only asked them one question. We got each one individually into a room so they wouldn't contaminate the others with their answers. We didn't want them thinking about the question. We only want them to hear the question, give the answer. So the question was, what did you do with your wood ashes and your rice straw ashes from your heating and cooking from the previous day? And the men said, "We don't know. You know, we're out there doing the samurai thing with the swords and doing the karate stuff, and we don't know." But the women, every one of them, gave the same story. "Oh, we took the wood ashes and the rice straw ashes and put them in the garden as our grandmothers and our mothers taught us to do as a fertilizer. We mixed it in the noodle dough and the rice because it gave it a nicer taste and color. It turned it yellow instead of white. And then thirdly, we cut our salt with it. 10 parts wood ashes and rice straw ashes with 1 part salt. Because salt was very expensive, and so they would cut it, just like a drug dealer cuts expensive cocaine, so that it would last longer. So they got plant minerals in 3 different ways, as fertilizer in the garden, culinary ashes, mix it in their noodles and rice, and also by cutting their salt with it. And wood ashes and rice straw ashes are the plant minerals that are left when you burn away the carbon in the fuel. And people have been using plant minerals as a supplement since before written history." And then they said one thing I didn't know. They said, "And lastly, an ash merchant came by every morning." An ash merchant. Now, what does that tell you? An ash merchant came by every morning and would buy our excess wood ashes and our excess rice straw ashes, and they would sell these ashes to farmers who had fields that were much larger than their personal production of ash could fertilize. It was an industry because they knew it was important for fertilization of that field. The first patent in 1790, the first U.S. patent, U.S. patent number 1, was how to make white wood ashes for export. They were burning tens of thousands of acres of forest. They just set those forests on fire and collect the wood ashes and ship them to England. That's because England had burned every tree in the British Isles. They were forced to go to coal. And so they were using the wood ashes from America for their food and their garden fertilizer and cutting their salt with it. And all this information is in the book, Hell's Kitchen. A lot of detail.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going to the Giant TS Gun Show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose this weekend. At the Giant TS Gun Show, the tough will find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, accessories, and much, much more. Get tough and go early to the Giant TS Gun Show for the best deals this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person, and children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. When the going gets tough, you'll find everything you need to get tough at the Giant TS Gun Show this weekend only at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose. Go early, stay late, and meet all your tough friends at the Giant TS Gun Show.
Now, here's a little different recipe for those of you who are sports fans. Harold Stilson from Deerfield Beach, Florida, hits a hole-in-one on his 101st birthday. Went out to play golf on his 101st birthday, hits a hole-in-one, 108-yard, par 3 hole. I mean, this is his 6-1. Now, you have to have good enough vision to see that stick holding up the flag at 108 yards. You got to have a good grip on the club, good eye-hand coordination. Hit that little banny chicken egg-sized ball into a teacup-sized hole 108 yards away in one whack. Wouldn't you rather have that lifestyle than being in a nursing home at age 85? Hoo-ah! And you know he doesn't have Alzheimer's disease because he's color coordinated. How many of you remember Art Linkletter? Okay, most of you are old enough to remember him. He wanted to live to be 100, and he was moved to want to live to be 100 by reading a Pulitzer Prize winning novel by the title Lost Horizon. Many of you won't remember that title, but the author, James Hilton, the one who won the Pulitzer Prize for writing that novel, coined a term in that book, Lost Horizon, called Shangri-La. How many of you heard of the term Shangri-La? Sure, everybody remembers that one. It was a mythical place. You could live to be 200-300 years of age if you followed their lifestyle, very clean-cut lifestyle. Everybody had their own little garden. They put wood ashes in, and they did all kinds of other stuff. And this novel was actually written about real people called the Hunzas, who live in what's now northern Pakistan. They were so famous for health and longevity. They were the longest lived and the healthiest people on earth. And so even the King of England sent his personal physician, one Sir Robert McCarrison, to go there for 4 years. Went there for 4 years to study how they lived so long and take the information back to the king. And Robert McCarrison was such a scientist, he brought 4,000 white rats with him. And he set up 1,000 rats on the Hunza diet, 1,000 rats on the New Delhi diet, and 1,000 rats on the English diet. Well, during that 4 years, the English rats died of the most horrible diseases, became cannibals and ate each other. And the New Delhi rats lived a little bit longer, but they didn't serve much any better. They had all diabetes and high blood pressure and all that, died of liver cancer. But the Hunza rats, they had to kill them at the end of the 4 years. It's time to leave. None of them had died. So he came back and he said, King, he says, I don't know what it is, but it has something to do with the diet. He told the king about the experiment he'd run. And so he says, here's a list of everything the Hunzas eat. And the king ate exactly as the Hunzas ate, and the king died at 72. At any rate, to make a long story short, there's two things in this book that jump out at you. Number one, they farm at 19,500-foot elevation. Their growing season is only 45 days. Now, the wheat and the corn and the rice we use, the growing season is 110 to 140 days. Can you grow those crops with a 45-day growing season? Nah. And so their total carbohydrate intake, because they couldn't grow rice and wheat as we know it and corn and that sort of stuff, squash and things, their sum total of their carbohydrate intake was a little chapati bread the size of a silver dollar pancake, one per person per day. That was it. The rest of their diet consisted of goat meat, lamb, mutton, chickens, eggs, cheese, butter, maybe some tomatoes and some green peppers and onions and garlic. And so it was a very low carbohydrate, very high animal fat, very high animal protein diet. And we know from animal experiments that when you have a low-carbohydrate diet, you can double and triple lifespans of animals if you give them all the nutrients. It's called undernutrition without malnutrition. You have to triple the vitamins and minerals and cut the carbohydrate intake by two-thirds, and you'll triple their lifespan. Cut the carbohydrate intake, triple the vitamins and minerals, and we can triple their lifespan. It's that easy. And number two, he noted in this book very clearly that they took their wood ashes every morning and mixed it in their garden. They cut their food with it and their salt with it. They put in their food as culinary ashes and cut their salt with it. Kind of like the Okinawans. Isn't that amazing? This is a beautiful story. It really gives you some insight. It was about the discovery of natural gas in Bolivia, a country in South America. And they were arguing, who's going to get the money? The indigenous people, you know, the Native Americans, so to speak, or the Native South Americans, or the government. They were arguing about this. But the most important thing of this article to me was this picture and the little legend underneath. It said, Bruno Paza, one of Bolivia's indigenous Aymara Indians, holds a bowl of llama manure he's using to feed his cooking fire. And he's feeding his fire. His fuel is animal manure. Did Americans ever use animal manure as fuel? Absolutely. Buffalo chips. Do you think they came to Vegas to get buffalo chips? There's no trees on the prairie, so they use horse manure. And so we burned animal manure as fuel. Bundles of grass, trees, wood, all kinds of stuff. So what makes them interesting to me was, when you look at the book, Rare Earth Forbidden Cures, and you go to the chapter entitled The Age Beaters, the people that live around Lake Titicaca, Bolivia, Peru, and Chile in this area, have more 100-year-olds per population than anybody else in the world. One per 500. In America, we have one per 10,000. They have 20 times the 100-year-olds we do. Think about that. They have nothing that you would go there for, other than long life and happiness. Now, this remained the same since before written history until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday, September 4th, 1882. We know the exact moment when everything changed. When this guy came along, Thomas Edison pulled the switch and turned on the first commercial. Actually, he didn't do it. His chief electrical technician, a guy by the name of Jonathan Leaves, pulled on the switch and turned on the first commercial electric generating plant in the world. By 1909, there was no less than a dozen patented kitchen electrical appliances. The first one was a toaster, interestingly enough, then a skillet. There were rice cookers and crock pots and blenders and steam irons and all kinds of electrical appliances. By 1950, every city and every industrialized nation had completely given up wood as a fuel and had gone to electricity and propane and natural gas and liquid paraffin and kerosene and heating oils for heating and cooking. Here comes the most profound question you've ever had in your life. How many wood ashes are left over when you cook and heat with electricity and propane and liquid paraffin and natural gas? It's a numeral that looks like this and begins with a Z. Zero! And there was no great gathering of doctors. There was no great gathering of doctors wringing their hands saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? People have been using wood ashes as a source of nutritional minerals since before written history. And now suddenly in the space of just 70 years, after thousands and thousands of years of using wood ashes and rice straw ashes and peat moss ashes as fertilizer and supplements in our food as culinary ashes and cutting our salt with it, in a 70-year period, just a little blip on the radar, it's gone. And nobody said, well, where are we going to get our minerals? Doctors didn't do that. They just, whoa, this is exciting, electricity. Now we can get brighter lights in the surgery room. There was no congressional hearings. There was no Senate investigations. I mean, there was nothing going on. And now we're paying the price. Now we're paying the price. Because all the epidemics, which we're going to talk about here, of degenerative diseases are caused by mineral deficiencies. Here's another one of my favorites. Ralph Charles, back in October of 1999, turned 100. And nice little newspaper write-up on his 100th birthday. And the thing that was interesting to me was he was still piloting commercial charter flights at age 100. Had no restrictions on his health, paper, licenses. Didn't have Alzheimer's disease. Didn't have macular degeneration. No cataracts. Does he look like that recipe of a 100-year-old? No, he looks like he's in his 80s to me. He looks 20 years younger than his age. And so these are things we know. We can fly airplanes at 100. We can hit holes in one at 101 if we follow the right recipe. This gal, Connie Douglas Reeves, turned 101. And the day that she turned 101, they inducted her into the Cowgirl Hall of Fame because she had taught 30,000 young women how to ride Western saddle and how to barrel race. I mean, she's a legend in Texas. And they inaugurated her and inducted her into the Cowgirl Hall of Fame. Now, to me, she looks like one of those mean, feisty, rebellious patients. She's got her thumbs in her belt, her shoulders are back, her chin is up. You just imagine her doctor saying to her, Connie, I need you to give up salt now. You're 101. I got to worry about your blood pressure. Connie, I really need you to give up eggs and red meat and chicken skin and dairy products and go to margarine and boneless, skinless chicken breast. And I want you to eat tofu instead of red meat. And I need you to, in fact, use egg beaters instead of eggs and use margarine instead of butter. And Connie's going to ponder for a minute and then say, Doc, I've been using salt and eating butter and red meat and eggs and chicken skin before your bar, and I ain't going to give them up now. Let's give her a hoo-ah. Hoo-ah! Okay, this is kind of a cute one. These guys were in the Guinness World Book of Records, Percy and Florence Arrowsmith in Hereford, England. And they were put in the Guinness World Book of Records, not because of their age, but because they'd been married to each other for 80 years. And the Guinness Book of World Records asked them what their secret was. She said she drank a glass of red wine for breakfast and had a shot of whiskey before bed. And he said, well, I guess I can render it down to two words. And boy, they whipped out their pens and they were ready for this profound two words. And they said, well, what is it? And he said, yes, ma'am.
For completing your landscape projects on time and on budget, call Swenson's Landscaping at 688-6350. Whether it's a commercial or residential installation, Swenson's Landscaping has been serving the Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay area since 1978. Swenson's Landscaping, your professionals in soil preparation and grading, irrigation and drainage, planting and erosion control, retaining walls and fences, hardscapes including interlocking pavers or flagstone for your walkways, patios, and driveways. Call Swenson's Landscaping at 688-6350. That's 688-6350. Or swensonslandscaping.com. That's swensonslandscaping.com. Put your landscape plans into action. Swenson's Landscaping.
Changing pace here a little bit. In April of 1990, the World Health Center and the Center for Disease Control did a survey in the top 32 industrialized nations. They said out of the top 32 industrialized nations, the United States ranked 17th in the world in health and longevity. Now, we spend more money for health care than all the other nations in the world put together. There's 92 nations. We spend more money for health care than the other 91, and yet in April of 1990, we ranked 17th. Japan was number one. Let's give them a hoo-ah for being number one. Hoo-ah! 79.1. We were 75. Well, 10 years later, when they redid the study, Japan maintained number one at 74.5, but they had dropped 5 years, four-point-something years they dropped. But they still maintained number one, but America dropped from 17th to 24th because we went from 75 to 70 in that 10-year period, from April of 1990 to June of 2000. Well, 5 years later, in August of 2005, the World Health Organization, Center for Disease Control, did another survey, and they published this in Newsweek magazine. I love this. Special edition, summer of 2005. It was on the stands until August 2005. The Future of Medicine, Your Health in the 21st Century. And they talked about new treatments. These are theoretical treatments, not existing ones for cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes. You know, they wanted more money for donations. And then in the article number one, page 10, there's this wonderful little paragraph. It said, America has built the world's highest high-tech medicine system in the world. I don't think we can argue with that. Surgeons don't even do surgery anymore. Robots do it, just like car assembly plants. Robots do most of the bone surgery now because they make so many mistakes in hip replacement and shoulder replacement surgery. They anesthetize you, and then they put you under this robot, and the robot cuts your bone off and sticks the new joint in there. And the robot does it all now because it's much more accurate than a human being. The doctor's in the back room drinking beer and sucking on a cigarette while the robot's doing the surgery. The sentence goes on to say, and yet the nation, meaning America, now ranks 46th in longevity. Now, there's 45 other countries whose peoples live longer than us. In 2005, the entire world spent $2.7 trillion for health care. And out of that $2.7 trillion the world spent, we alone spent $1.9 trillion, more than two-thirds, and we ranked 46th in the world. Our health care system sucks, would be a kind way of putting it. You're not getting the bang for the buck, and you, not a single one of you in this room, would put up with that in any other industry. You would not put up with this in any other industry. It's time for us to be the Home Depot of health care. People are looking for it. Hoo-ah. And then even worse, it goes on and says, and 41 other countries, including Cuba, for gosh sakes, have achieved lower rates of infant mortality. They have a higher rate of babies surviving the first year and being born alive than we do. Cuba! Think about that. A poor, non-industrialized communist nation does a better job of live births and first-year survivability of our babies than us. Whose fault is that? Well, it's the medical system's fault. It's the medical doctor's fault. It's the pediatrician's fault. It's the OBGYN's fault. Now, there's things we can do immediately. They're going to be fun, and you'll love to do them, and you will do them. I guarantee you, it's just so easy. There's some things you won't like to change, and you're going to drag your toes and say, well, Doc, isn't there anything else I could change? I don't want to give that one up. So I'm going to show you one of each, and you'll get kind of a clue. This is out of the British Medical Journal, which is the equivalent of the Journal of the American Medical Association. This was December 23rd, 1997, and it's a big study, a big, huge study on more than 1,000 men between the ages of 45 and 59. Remember, this is the British Medical Journal. This is not a comic book or a newspaper even. They said, frequent sex helps men live longer. Hoo-ah! Those men who had sex twice a week live 50% longer than those who have sex only once a month. Well, this study came out the same month, December 4th, though, a couple of weeks early, the sex one, 1997. This was a study that was actually started in 1990, but they didn't report it until 1997. What they did was look at the longevity of people county by county in the United States. I mean, they went county by county and calculated the longevity, and they did it color coding. The people who are the longest-lived people in America in the upper Midwest and the Plain States, we're talking about eastern Montana, north and south Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, northern Missouri, eastern Nebraska, and Kansas. These are the longest-lived people in America in the upper Midwest and the Plain States. The shortest-lived people in America come from the southeast, part of the United States, the old South, if you will, from Chesapeake Bay down to Central Texas. There's a very distinct demarcation, and this in the old South is called the heart attack, stroke, and cancer belt of America. How many of you have ever heard that phrase before? Southeast part of the United States, this is a cancer, heart attack, and stroke belt of America. The people in the upper Midwest and the Plain States live 20 years longer than the people in the South. 20 years longer. They have the same insurance, they have the same medications, the same idiot doctors, the same hospitals. Got the same. And yet the people in the upper Midwest and the Plain States live 20 years longer. What's the difference? Well, the people in the upper Midwest and the Plain States, primarily, there's exceptions, of course, but primarily, at least historically and culturally in those areas, they cook everything by roasting and stewing. How do people cook in the old South? Frying. There is fried potatoes and fried fish and chicken fried steak and fried green tomatoes and fried okra and fried hush puppies. I mean, it's been alleged that people in the old South even fry water. And because of the free radicals and the trans fatty acids that are created by frying, the rate of cancer and heart attack and stroke is higher. And so if you do nothing else, but never again, ever, ever, ever put a French fry or anything fried in your mouth, you will add 20 healthful years to your life. Hoo-ah! And you'll save a lot of money. And cleaning up your home, it's a lot easier to clean up your home when you've stewed as opposed to frying. So you're going to save a lot of money, and you'll add 20 healthful years to your life if you never again eat anything fried. Goodbye churches, goodbye Popeye, goodbye French fries. I mean, I can go into McDonald's and have a nice sandwich and a salad now. I don't eat the French fries. I don't drink the soft drinks. You can go to McDonald's and have a nice meal, but you don't want to eat the fried stuff. That's where the dangerous part. You know, my tape, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, doctors were always angry with me because they said doctors only live to be 58. So they redid their own study, and to make a long story short, they came out 5 years later. And all the medical journals say, Wallach lied. He lied. He wasn't right. Doctors don't live to be 58. Like Wallach said, they live to be 56. I missed it by 2 years. So they don't bother me on that one anymore. And they're obligated to publish it because somebody had donated the money for the study. So why do we listen to a group of people whose average lifespan is 56 on longevity? Whoa, that's not very bright. What do doctors die from? Diabetes, heart disease, stroke, cancer. Hello? My favorite doctor obituaries are the fitness doctors, the sports medicine doctors who die at 38 while jogging. I love the ones who are cardiologists. They teach cardiology at Harvard Medical School and die at 48 of a heart attack. Why do we listen to those people? Well, they're doctors. Well, there's general contractors who have licenses from the state to build buildings and bridges and roads. Yet people still go to Home Depot and paint their own house and retile their own house and fix a loose board in a porch. It's time, folks. People still go to doctors because they don't know that there's options available. Who's going to tell them there's options? We are! Hoo-ah! Okay.
It's a great time for a fresh start. Hello, I'm Dr. Duncan McCollum, chiropractor and director of the McCollum Wellness Center in Santa Cruz. It is a great time for a fresh start, and to help you get started, I'm inviting you to lose 7 to 11 pounds of unwanted fat in the next 9 days. That's the average. Here's the magic. Our body stores toxins and fat cells to protect our vital organs from their harmful effects, and will resist burning those fat cells to keep the toxins from being released into the bloodstream. Cleansing can remove the toxins, allowing us to safely burn off the fat and lose the weight. It is a great time for a fresh start, so start today by detoxifying and losing those pounds.
Lose 7 to 11 pounds of real fat in the next 9 days. Call the McCollum Wellness Center right now and register for the next free detox and weight loss workshop. The first 10 callers will receive a free body composition analysis, adrenal stress test, and evaluation. $100 value. That's the McCollum Wellness Center, 459-9990, or McCollumWellnessCenter.com.
KSCO, Santa Cruz.
Exercise without supplementation is suicide. What do all athletes do regardless of sports? They sweat. And if you're sweating and you're not replacing all that soup of nutrients that are coming out in your sweat, you're doomed to either break down like Theo did. Thank God he didn't die. But he broke down physically because all the nutrients required to maintain and repair his cartilage and ligaments and tendons, connective tissue and bone and muscle weren't there. And so he broke down under the stress of all this high performance activity. You give him all this stuff back, he kind of regrew everything. Isn't that amazing? What a concept. Exercise without supplementation is suicide. Many of you remember the Grinkovs, really good-looking couple, Russian couple. They were the darlings of the Paris figure skating world. He died of cardiomyopathy, heart disease at age 28. Won 4 gold medals, 2 in the Olympics and 2 of the World Games. Had everything going for him. Money, fame, bam, 28 dies. Cardiomyopathy, heart attack. What's that caused by? A deficiency of? Selenium. Very good. Walter Payton. died of liver disease waiting for a liver transplant. Mr. Clean never drank, never did drugs, was a gentleman, but he sweat, and he just drank water, or the dark side, Gatorade. I love this crowd. And it's really, these are tragic stories. This gal here, Rolanda Pierce, 19 years old, great basketball player for Florida State University, 19 years old, a freshman, 6'5", had all the moves, good-looking, very bright young woman. She was expected to be kind of the Michael Jordan of the WNBA. She was going to be the female version of Michael Jordan when she graduated college and got into the Women's National Basketball Association. She died of a ruptured aneurysm at 19 years of age. What did she die from? A copper deficiency. Exactly. All the money and all the future and all the potential she had went away because she was living on Coca-Cola and French fries and no supplementation, because the sports medical doctor at that university told her you can get everything you need by eating your basic four food groups. French fries, Coca-Cola, fried chicken. Reggie Lewis had it all, captain of the Boston Celtics. Had his first cardiomyopathy heart attack, 28 years old, collapsed. They gathered together 12 of the best cardiologists in the world. They called them the dream team of cardiology, paid them $1 million each to refer all their patients out to other doctors so they could devote full time to Reggie. They wanted him back on the floor. He was a powerhouse. He was a leader. He made things happen. And he was kind of like the Theo Ratliff of those days. And what a great kid he was. Clean as you could be. A great example for everybody. But while they were arguing who was going to get famous by doing the heart transplant or installing a pacemaker, he dies of his second cardiomyopathy heart attack 2 weeks later. Well, God has a great way of bringing justice to the evil. A year and a half later, the captain of the dream team of cardiologists, one Dr. W. Thomas Nessa, taught cardiology at Harvard, ran the Boston Marathon every year, was as fit as you could be, a person who believed in fitness and so was a fitness nut himself, dies of a cardiomyopathy heart attack in his home at age 48. Now, if he was my cardiologist and he said exercise without supplementation was good, I would lay on the couch. I would never blink. I would not do anything that resembled physical activity. If he said salt was bad, I would take the top off the salt shaker and I'd be guzzling that stuff. If he said eggs were bad because of the cholesterol, I'd be eating 25 a day because I wouldn't want to wind up like him. Even though he was an expert, he's a dead expert. And they don't lie. They don't lie. Wilma Rudolph, another Olympic legend, died of brain cancer at age 54 after winning 3 gold medals in the single Olympics in the 1960 Olympics. She died of brain cancer. Nope, not arsenic. Nope. Gallium. I can tell who's reading the book Rare Earths Forbidden Cures, chapter 11, under G, gallium. It's a gallium deficiency. Big British study. I cite the study, no doubt about it. Corey Stringer, 350-pound offensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings. Had it all, rich athlete, but they wanted him to lose 50 pounds so he could play first string that year. So they put him in a rubber suit, didn't give him any water and didn't give him any salt. 102 degrees, Minnesota in the summer in August. And he collapses with heat stroke. Everybody has a cell phone, 911. Here comes the ambulance. 5 or 10 minutes later, they arrive. Now, Corey weighs 350 pounds. And they hook him up in an IV. Boy, they got the EMTs. They hook him up to an IV. Is that enough fluid for him? No. What they should have done was taken that big Gatorade bucket full of ice, put it on him. They should have ripped his trousers off and stuck the hose from the garden up his rump and give him a cold water enema, bring his core temperature down from 107 to 98.6, and Corey Stringer would still be alive today. But everybody's waiting for the doctors to do it. Now, if there had been an Eagle Scout there, he'd have lived. But all poor Corey had was the top sports medicine doctors. Gatorade only has 2 nutrients. Sodium and potassium, both of which are useful, but it's only 2. What about the other 58 minerals? What about the gallium? What about the selenium? What about the zinc? What about the copper? 0, 0, 0, 0. People say, well, it's not convenient. Well, then die. Hoo-ah. Yeah, death is a very inconvenient thing.
Spring is just around the corner, and your local John Deere dealer, Pringle Tractor, has the perfect equipment to make quick work of your to-do list. For a limited time, Pringle Tractor is offering 0% financing on compact tractors and utility tractors. That's right, 0% financing for 48 months. Make the big jobs look small with a versatile John Deere 2305 compact tractor. This workhorse features a diesel engine and hydrostatic transmission. And with over 80 available attachments and implements, your chores will be done in no time. For those bigger jobs, check out the new lineup of John Deere 5000 Series utility tractors. These tractors have the power you need and the features you want. Stop by Pringle Tractor today and let the experts help you find the perfect John Deere to get the job done. And for a limited time, get 0% financing for 48 months. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas or online at PringleTractor.com. Your local John Deere dealer for over 50 years. Offer ends April 30th, 2010. Some restrictions apply. Other special rates and terms may be available, so see your dealer for details and other financing options. Subject to approved credit on John Deere credit installment plan.
If you want to know what's going on in health, read Time and Newsweek magazine. Big article on high blood pressure. The stealth killer, America's high blood pressure crisis, is spinning out of control. How can we have a high blood pressure crisis? We've got calcium channel blockers. We've got beta blockers. We got all these diuretics. We have exercise and fitness systems. More people involved with that than ever before. People are losing weight. You know, the obesity problem is hopefully getting under control. We're doing everything the doctors say. And it's spinning out of control. That's because you cannot fix a mineral deficiency problem with surgery and drugs. Amen. What's the first thing a good farmer puts down for his livestock out in the pasture? A salt block or a salt lick, isn't it? There's nobody out in the pasture telling a cow she's limited to one lick a day, is there? No, I refuse to believe that my human patients are dumber than a cow or a goat or something like that. And so I say, go ahead and salt your food to taste. Well, how do I know if it's too much? Well, it'll taste salty. As high tech as I can get. July 1997, presentation at the American Heart Association's annual meeting in Portland, Oregon. Doctors lack proof that too much salt is unhealthful. After years of telling healthy people that too much salt isn't good for them, researchers still don't have solid evidence to back up that claim. The same study is called the Sodium Task Force, just a different newspaper. They kind of came at it a little different direction. They said the study, the Sodium Task Force, found that people who limited their salt intake to 1,000 milligrams or 1 gram a day, like their doctors wanted them to do, had 600% more, or six times more heart attacks than those who defied their doctors and consumed more than double. If you followed your doctor's instructions, you're not going to make it. So says September 2000 Scientific American. Remember that? If you take your diuretics, it's only going to get rid of more minerals. Scientific American, February 1999. They went to Nigeria, out in the bush, where people had never seen a doctor in a white coat. They've never seen a stethoscope. They've never heard of diuretics or calcium channel blockers. And they started taking blood pressures, and they found that 7% of these people living out in a very primitive circumstances out in the bush, 7% had high blood pressure. They came back to Chicago, did a lot of DNA testing, found a lot of people whose ancestors had originated in Nigeria during the old slave trade days in the 16, 1700s. And they started taking their blood pressure, and 33% of them had high blood pressure. They knew immediately, without doing another single one penny's worth of research, that it's not genetic. Because if it was genetic, it'd be 7% and 7%, or 33% and 33%, because where you are in the world will not change how genetics expresses itself. If you have a genetic problem in Nigeria, you're going to have the same genetic problem in Bolivia. If you have that same genetic problem in Bolivia, you're going to have the same genetic problem in New York. It doesn't matter where you are on Earth. If you have a genetic problem, you have a genetic problem. So you know immediately, fourth grade biology is not genetic. So what's the difference here? Well, the people in Nigeria out in the bush are still putting their wood ashes, their plant minerals, into their food. They're still fertilizing their garden with it. They still use wood as a fuel. The guys in Chicago were living on diuretics and calcium channel blockers and statin drugs to lower cholesterol and Church's fried chicken and Pepsi Cola and Coca-Cola, Gatorade, hoo-ah. Okay, now, 6 years later, the British Medical Journal. 6 years later, the British Medical Journal. Remember, guys, the same one that said sex twice a week gives you 50% more longevity. Hoo-ah. So we got to believe them, right? High blood pressure in blacks, not genetic. This is January 2005. High blood pressure in blacks, not genetic. High blood pressure in whites, not genetic. High blood pressure in human beings, not genetic. High blood pressure is not genetic. You've heard me say many times, we've eliminated 900 different diseases in animals with those little pellets and canned dog food with all the vitamins and minerals in it. Well, dogs and canaries and worms and crickets and monkeys and guinea pigs can all get high blood pressure. Cows get high blood pressure. But they don't get it when you give them those little pellets, because we have everything in there to prevent the high blood pressure, because we don't have insurance to pay for these drugs and surgeries and things. How do you tell a dog, well, you better sign up for a fitness center and take, you know, diuretics and calcium channel blocker? And so if we do what we've done for our animals, we cannot fail. We can eliminate high blood pressure not only in the world, but we can eliminate high blood pressure in the black community, in the white community, the human community, in 90 days if everybody would take all 90 essential nutrients. Focus on the intake of what? Calcium. And stay away from the fried food. Stay away from the carbonated drinks. And watch what happens to that high blood pressure. I'd rather take the drugs. I just can't give up my Popeyes. You're going to die. Whether you believe it or not, how many of you have ever heard that elevated cholesterol and triglycerides are the basic root cause of coronary artery disease and artery disease? Sure, we've all heard that, right? Well, if you can find me any disease that's caused by elevated blood cholesterol and triglycerides, it'll give you $1 million. There's not a single disease caused by elevated blood cholesterol and triglycerides. It's a signal that you have a deficiency of niacin, vanadium B3, a deficiency of chromium vanadium, a deficiency of omega-3 essential fatty acids. You could have early hypothyroidism or goiter. You can have early diabetes. All those things will cause elevated blood cholesterol and triglycerides. But elevated blood cholesterol and triglycerides cause no disease. And so that's why all these statin drugs and all the aspirin that everybody's been taking, all this stuff, we now rank 46th in the world in longevity, doing what doctors have told us, spending $1.9 trillion a year for health care. We rank 46th in the world. Does that make any kind of sense? You're an MBA. Does that make any kind of sense? No. Huh? Bad investment. Bad investment. Come in 46th, and you're spending more than all the other 91 nations in the world put together. Here's this little Bolivia, and they're using llama manure for fuel. They have 20 times the 100-year-olds than we do. Hello? Are we getting a clue here? So what causes coronary artery disease? What causes clogged arteries? What causes it? How many of you heard of free radicals, trans fatty acids? Yeah. Where does it come from? Well, look at that. Now, we've known this for 50 years. But doctors still, you got to give up that dairy products and butter and animal fats. And you got to go to margarine and cooking oils. Well, they live to be 56. Why do you believe them? They die of heart attacks and strokes. Why would you believe them? I want you to think of your grandparents, your moms and dads, your aunts and uncles. How many of you had a mom or dad or aunt or uncle or grandparents who lived to be in their 80s and 90s? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you had any of them live to be in the hundreds? 100. Yeah, there's a handful in here. And I guarantee you they ate 4 to 6 eggs for breakfast. They ate butter instead of margarine. They didn't have margarine back in those days. They ate butter. They cooked in lard. They ate their chicken skin. Can you imagine anybody? Can you imagine my grandfather tearing the chicken skin off the chicken before he ate it? Using anything else but real butter? Eating tofu on a bee farm? Hello? So it's the free radical damage, the lining of the arteries that causes coronary artery disease. Well, you get rid of the free radicals in your life. Why is that called the heart attack, stroke, and cancer belt of America in the Old South? Fried foods. Gosh, this is so easy. Give up the fried foods. You take in all your antioxidants, selenium, OPC. Very easy. My blood pressure is 121 over 71. My resting pulse is 47. If I were to go to a doctor for a physical now, they would have a hemorrhage. They'd send me in for a pacemaker. What? Your resting pulse is 47? You're going to have a heart attack. Really? Well, let's see who can lift the most weight and keep alive here, doc. Also, low cholesterol makes you stupid. I love that study. Well, they took almost 800 men. And 1,100 women, they divided them into two groups. Those with blood cholesterols below 200, which they thought were going to be the healthiest and smartest, and those with blood cholesterols above 240. And the ones who had blood cholesterols above 240 were 49% smarter than the ones who had blood cholesterol below 200. Hoo-ah! Low-fat diets lose their luster for heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, colon cancer. There's no difference in the rate between a low-fat diet and a high-fat diet. No difference whatsoever. Obesity is now the number one preventable killer. There's 16% of American kids who are obese. Now, this is despite all these surgeries, beside all the drugs. There's more people involved with fitness than ever before. That's because we're living on too much carbohydrates and not enough people are taking in nutrients, especially minerals. Sweet fruit drinks make pudgy kids fatter. Fruit juice. I'm not giving my kid Pepsi. I'm giving him apple juice. We're living on dry cereals. And apple juice, they go to school with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They come home and eat Kraft's macaroni and cheese. And the parents think they're giving them a good diet. There's nothing but carbohydrates and sugar. There's not even anything green and leafy or tomatoes in there. Nothing. Nothing but sugar and carbohydrates. No vitamins and minerals. And the kid's, you know, got ADD and ADHD. And you know he's going to be a serial killer when he grows up. Well, this is the cause of obesity in America. Pica, you've all read about pica or cribbing. The only thing that will cause this behavior where they eat dirt or chew on the fence or wooden implements and things like that is a mineral deficiency. Some minerals are worse than others, but all mineral deficiencies cause this behavior in animals, pike or cribbing, where they eat other things other than food. And it's not boredom, it's they're minerally deficient. Pregnant women are legendary for getting cravings during pregnancy. Why is that? Because the baby, as it's developing, is stealing minerals from the mother, and if she's not taking in enough to counteract that, they crave things. In the Old South, where they have the heart attack, stroke, and cancer belt of America, they eat cornstarch. How many of you heard of women eating cornstarch when they're pregnant? Yeah. And what about clay? They go out in the yard and eat clay when they're pregnant. People come and say, Doc, am I sick? Am I crazy? I have this craving for clay. No, you're just pregnant, my dear. It's so common in the Old South. You go to a grocery store into the dairy section, they got these little bags of yellow clay, red clay, orange clay, blue clay, black clay. You can have your choice. Whichever one flips your switch. I love this one. Eating dirt may be good for you. Don't take vitamins and minerals. You can overdose, but eat dirt. Experts claim the habit of eating clay may be beneficial for pregnant women. Now, what is in clay? Clay is minerals. The woman says, the real good stuff is smooth, tastes just like candy. Mm. The habit of eating clay or dirt is known as geophagy, geo for earth and phagy for eat. Some experts lump it into the same category as pica, which is the abnormal urge to eat coins, paint, soap, and other non-food items such as wood ashes, plant minerals. And so there was a natural drive for pregnant women at the dawn of history to eat wood ashes and dirt and clay and things looking for minerals as those babies drove them to be minerally deficient. I could say a lot of things about a lot of diseases, but I'm going to just go to selenium when it comes to cancer. You've all heard my tape. I hope you've all heard the tape, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And on there, I was reading this, and of course, doctors turned me over to every agency in the world because I had found an anti-cancer diet. I was just reading this, and of course, when I made that tape, an anti-cancer diet has been found. They interpreted that I was claiming that I had made an anti-cancer diet. And what they did was look at these vitamins and minerals. And dietary supplements such as vitamin C, retinol, which is a form of vitamin A, zinc, riboflavin, vitamin B2, molybdenum, which is a trace mineral, niacin, B3, had no statistically significant effect on cancer deaths over the 5 years. Well, it takes a little bit longer for them to do things. However, in a group of middle-aged people, I think there was 29,000 people between the age of 49 and 60, during the same five-year period, those who took only beta-carotene, vitamin E, and the trace mineral selenium for 5 years, the results were striking. 13% fewer deaths from all cancers, 20% reduction deaths from stomach cancer, which is very high in that portion of China, and a 9% disappearance of deaths from all causes, just by taking those three supplements. And, of course, they were very low doses. They were just a portion of the RDA. Well, in 1912, in Popular Mechanics, that wonderful medical journal, written so you can understand it, Dr. Wasserman, who invented the Wasserman test, which is that blood test a lot of his old guys had to take before he got married to get a license, detected syphilis. He ever had an active case of syphilis. Hooah! He had discovered a chemical substance, which turned out to be selenium, that will cure cancer in mice. He went on to say that selenium has a selective action against cancer cells, but didn't hurt healthy tissues. He went on to say that the cancer in mice is so similar to that in humans, he believed that an important advance had been made toward the cure of that veritable scourge, cancer in people. Well, in 1912, when this came out, we began to put selenium into animal foods. It stayed dormant in interest to medical doctors until December of 1996, 84 years later. When this came out, Dr. Larry Clark, a medical doctor, I have to give him credit, medical doctor, PhD from the University of Arizona, and he did the gold standard medical research. He did a randomized double-blind study in 1,300 people for 7 years. Half of them got 200 micrograms or one-fifth of a milligram of selenium. The other half got sugar pills or placebos. And to make a long story short, his final analysis showed taking selenium slashed the occurrence, not the risk, but slashed the actual occurrence, which is much more powerful than slashing the risk. Slash the occurrence of prostate cancer by 69%, colorectal cancer by 64%, and lung cancer by 39%. 2 months after this wonderful news came out, Dr. Larry Clark, MD, PhD, dies of prostate cancer at age 52. He didn't take selenium because he didn't believe in it. He actually purposely avoided selenium because he believed in chemotherapy because that's how he made his living. And so it cost him his life. He didn't even make it to 56, died at 52 of prostate cancer. Nobody should die of prostate cancer. No link found between fat and breast cancer. High-fiber diets don't protect you. Multivitamins cut colon cancer risk. 90,000 nurses, Harvard Nurses Health Study, 15 years on a multivitamin, reduced the risk of colon cancer by 75% in these 90,000 women. Reduced the risk of colon cancer by 75% for like $2 a day. Are there any drugs that will reduce the risk of colon cancer by 1%? No. Here's a little nutritional formula. Will reduce your risk of colon cancer by 75%. It's going to cost you half of what it costs for an espresso latte from Starbucks. And people say, I don't know. I can't remember to do that in the morning. Well, then die. And so, fortunately, there's always a small group of people who will survive. Just like in Katrina, there was a group of people who, when they got the word that it was coming, and the storm filled the entire Gulf of Mexico, or as they say in Texas, the entire Gulf of Mexico, they, little old people, little bags of water, they started walking west. 3 days later when it hit, they were 100 miles away. And the ones who stayed, the government will save us. That FEMA will do it.
Discover what the 15 million people who watch the Food Network are going to discover. Aldo's Harbor Restaurant in Santa Cruz and Aldo's Italian Bakery in Soquel.
Ciao, I am Mauro Olivieri,
proud member of the Aldo's clan. Over six decades ago, my father Aldo, mother Inez, and brother Walter began serving food to the good people in Santa Cruz. And we proudly continue that tradition today at our Aldo's Harbor Restaurant and Aldo's Italian Bakery. Listen to what we have cooking for you today.
Aldo's is cooking up an appearance on Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Tune in to the Food Network Monday, March 22nd, and get a taste of the real Santa Cruz.
Discover the great food and ocean views at Aldo's Harbor Restaurant in Santa Cruz and Aldo's Italian Bakery in Soquel Village.
Calamari at Aldo's, mamma mia, that's amore.
The Aldo's family intends to serve you for another six decades.
Buongiorno.
There's a diabetes epidemic. Went up more than 50% in 4 years, despite all this wondrous medical care. And that's why we now rank 46th in the world in health and longevity. And so all the insulin and all the exercise programs and all the amputations and all the blindness and all the stuff we go through is unnecessary. We can eliminate high blood pressure and diabetes in the black community, the white community, the human community in 90 days if everybody would do the right thing. And so diabetes rate soars for Americans in their 30s. It used to be called adult onset type 2 diabetes because it only occurred in people over age 50. Well, now newborn babies are having it. Heavy kids getting grown-up diseases. High blood pressure, clogged arteries, diabetes showing up in babies. Is that because it's genetic? No, it's because they're eating fried foods. They're living on soft drinks and Pop-Tarts and Pillsbury toaster strudels and apple juice. This is a big study, 91,000 nurses, 8 years, the Harvard Nurses Health Study. The women in the study who drank at least one sugar-sweetened soda, didn't matter if it was classic Coke, Pepsi-Cola, Mountain Dew, Sprite, 7-Up, ginger ale, natural, organic, carbonated drinks, didn't matter. Pellegrino water, Perrier water, if it's carbonated, club soda, doesn't matter. 85% more likely to get diabetes. If you drink two a day, you're going to get it. How many of you have ever seen a teenager just drink two? Unless it's those 42-ounce gulps, each of which has three 12-ounce Cokes in them. There's 9 teaspoons of sugar per 12-ounce drink. Now, if they're drinking 10 a day, that's 90 teaspoons of sugar. Put 90 teaspoons of sugar in a mixing bowl and see what your kids are drinking. You got to change it, folks. Chromium is one of the two trace minerals that are missing when you have diabetes. And, of course, there's 23 cofactors necessary for them to work. We learned this in 1957, that we could prevent and cure. We could prevent and cure diabetes in laboratory animals, pet animals, and farm animals in 1957 with these two trace minerals. We proved it in human beings 20 years later in 1977. Do doctors use this stuff? No. There's no money in it. There's no money in the cure. The money's in, you're going to be on this insulin for the rest of your life. And so we have to show them that there is an option. Why won't these chromium vanadium by themselves work? Because they need 23 cofactors. You ever hear me say take chromium vanadium? No. You take the 90 essential nutrients because they're hooked together like a web. Hoo-ah. Arthritis. 85% of all Americans over the age of 50 already have arthritis and osteoporosis of one time or another to one degree or another. There's not a single medical treatment, that's according to the Center for Disease Control of Atlanta, Georgia, not me, and there's not a single medical treatment designed to prevent or cure osteoporosis or arthritis. There's not a single medical treatment designed to prevent or cure. The only approach that the medical system has is pain relief and surgery. Pain relief and surgery. Well, we eliminated arthritis and osteoporosis in animals 300 years ago in Europe and 1,000 years ago in China. We've known for 1,000 years how to prevent and cure osteoporosis and arthritis. I'll give you a little hint. People hear me say that all the time. Well, that can't be. How many of you heard of, in the old herbal days, in the old homeopathic days, you know, hundreds of years ago, in China, thousands of years ago, there's a term when they didn't know what to use, what herb to use to treat a disease, they always started out with like treats like. How many of you heard that term? Like treats like. L-I-K-E treats L-I-K-E. So if you had a blood disease, you'd take a herb that was red. If you had a brain disease, you ate walnuts because a walnut looked like a brain. And so that's called theory of signatures, the rule of signatures, meaning you take an herb or something that looks like the part of the body that you want to fix, and then it's a place as a starting point. And sometimes it's a great treatment, sometimes it wasn't. And so when you had a bone problem 1,000 years ago, what did the old root doctors and what did the old shamans and the old voodoo doctors do 1,000 years ago? When you had a bone problem, what did they make you eat? Bones! How difficult is this? Now you can't do that anymore. Because there's lead in bones, and they took it off the market for human use. The coming epidemic of arthritis. I mean, what a sick article. I mean, the bad news is research shows the disease starts attacking your joints before middle age. Well, they start attacking your joints when you're two. How many of you heard of growing pains? Yeah, if you want to have fun, go to a mall and just sit in a chair and look at kids. Don't look up above 3 feet. Just look at little kids. Go to a zoo and sit on a bench and just look at kids. Don't look at the animals. Don't look at the people. Just look at kids. Now, you don't see any walking kids anymore. This mother, this 25-year-old mother, has an 18-wheeler baby cart. She's got a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and she's got a 6-month-old on her back. And she's struggling along with this 18-wheeler baby cart. Now, they're living on apple juice and dry cereal and Fruit Loops for breakfast. And they're getting peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch. And they're getting Kraft macaroni and cheese for dinner. And these kids can't walk 2 feet. Pick me up. And they just sit down, you know. Arthroscopic surgery for arthritis is a worthless procedure, published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It was a big study done by the Harvard Medical School. Why did doctors continue to use arthroscopic surgery for arthritis of the knee? $1.5 billion they made in income on that one procedure the year 2001. Osteoporosis strikes both sexes equally. I had to go to Canada to learn this. Osteoporosis strikes both sexes equally. Anybody read that in an American newspaper? No. Big study, 10,000 people, over 3,000 men, over 6,000 women. Men are as likely as women to suffer from osteoporosis, the surprise findings from a 5-year Canadian study. The results turn the tables on the belief that women are the prime victims of conditions. Now, here's kind of interesting. This study, the results of the study, will almost certainly change the way that medical professionals deal with the unexplained bone fractures in men and the way that education about the condition is handled. Now, raise your hand, gentlemen, if you got an email or a postcard or a phone call or a letter or some kind of communication from your personal medical doctor, your primary care physician, your family doctor saying, Roy, you better come on in because we just learned that men get osteoporosis at an equal rate with women. And I want to do a bone density test on you. Any of you men get that from your medical doctor? Now, I've given this lecture 300 times a year. I've been in 8 countries, and I've never had a single man raise his hand, or a married man either. Never had any man raise his hand. Now, here comes the killer. The guy who's in charge of the Department of Rheumatology, you know, the bone disease guy from McMaster's University, which is like their Harvard Medical School. We didn't think that men got fractures. And now this is what he's teaching to medical students. You want to slap that guy? And he's teaching that to medical doctors, that men don't get fractures. Disregard them. They're all gnarled up with Dowager's hump. They can't even pick up a glass of water. But you're okay. You're a man. You don't get osteoporosis and arthritis. Carbonated drinks. 10 years before this, in 1990... the Harvard Nurses Health Study looked at 90,000 nurses over a 10-year period, and they looked at these adult nurses from between the ages of 35 and 70, and they discovered that those drinking non-cola carbonated drinks had an increased risk of fractures and osteoporosis over those who just drank water and tea by 300%. The ones who drank cola carbonated drinks increased their risk of fractures and osteoporosis over those just drinking water or tea by 500%. So they wanted to see if this happened in girls. They're thinking that it's a women's disease, right? And so they went to Boston. They got to 460 young girls in the 9th and 10th grade, and they did a little study on them, and they found out that the girls who drank carbonated drinks were 3 times more likely to get fractures and osteoporosis. I mean, we're talking about junior high school girls. They have a 300% increase in the risk of getting osteoporosis and arthritis and fractures over girls who drink water and tea. Now, why would you let your kids drink that stuff? I want to end up with that reminder that if it's to be, it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to us. Just don't expect everybody to believe us. And so we can only save them that will be saved. And so we have to keep talking. We have to keep sharing the message. That's what this is all about. And if we do this, you will be rewarded beyond your wildest dreams, because we are going to be the Home Depot of healthcare in the next decade. Hooah! Hooah! Hooah!
Information and statements regarding dietary supplements discussed have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
KSCO Santa Cruz, and we join Fox News already in progress.
Even though the National Weather Service there has updated its Red River crest projection downward to 37 feet, that's 19 above flood stage, and the city's hoping the levees and sandbagging will now keep the river from flooding the city. Healthcare not the only focus of demonstrators in D.C. today. Thousands also protesting at the Capitol to mark the day 7 years ago the U.S. launched its shock and awe bombing campaign and the invasion of Iraq. Some demonstrators carrying flag-draped coffins and signs reading, "Indict Bush Now." You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Every day, more people wake up with America's number one morning news show. Breaking news you need to know, guests you have to see, and stories that have everyone talking. Steve, Brian, and Gretchen, the fair and balanced news team more Americans trust.
You get news like you don't see it on other channels.
We have a conversation with America.
The difference with Fox and Friends is that we also bring you tons of fun, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else.
Weekdays, wake up to Friends. Wake up to Fox and Friends. Only on Fox. Smart, tough, trusted. Megyn Kelly covers every story, every event on America Live. Digging deeper, debating key issues, discussing the topics impacting you.
Our mission is to get you the facts fair and balanced.
There are two sides to every story. Only one show delivers both fair and balanced. Watch America Live with Megyn Kelly, weekdays only on Fox News Channel.
We don't judge, we let you decide.
In New Jersey, authorities say they have the person who caused a stir at a local big box store, and he turns out to be a 16-year-old.
The Washington Township Police Department announcing the arrest of a man following an incident Sunday when a male voice came over the store's public address system calmly announcing, "Attention Walmart customers. All black people leave the store now." It provoked an immediate apology from the store manager and outrage from the public. The company says it's just as appalled. Walmart is now acting to limit the public address feature to a smaller number of in-store telephones. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
British Airways has canceled over 1,000 flights after its cabin crew launched a three-day strike. The airline scrambling to find other options for travelers, and Chief Executive Willie Walsh issued an apology on YouTube, calling it a, quote, terrible day for the carrier. Police at Virginia Tech are reassuring the public that after a thorough investigation, they believe a person who's been sending threatening emails and internet posts is not a danger, that those are originating from Italy. The threats at the campus where there was a mass shooting that took 32 lives 3 years ago. The Vatican in damage control mode as a wave of sex abuse by clergy claims continues to sweep Ireland, Germany, Austria, and the Netherlands.
Pope Benedict XVI addresses the sex abuse crisis in Ireland in a letter to Catholics there, saying he shares the sense of betrayal of the faithful. Benedict also criticizes the way church authorities dealt with abuse in the past, saying some of them failed grievously. The Pope has ordered an investigation into parts of the church in Ireland and tells victims he is ashamed at what happened and knows that nothing can undo what they have suffered. In Vatican City, Greg Burke, Fox News Radio.
A weather phenomenon in China where a massive sandstorm has hit Beijing. Tons of sand turning the sky over the city orange. Workers and tourists on the streets of the city muffling their faces. The air getting a hazardous designation from the city's weather bureau. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here for the weekend. Looks like we're going to have sunny skies today. High of 72. And the south-southwest winds will be between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Also, we have got tonight partly cloudy, a low of 43 with light winds. And on Sunday, we're going to have partly sunny with a high of 68 and west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 15 seconds, and south 3 feet at 14 seconds. Tonight, west winds 5 knots in the evening, becoming light, and wind waves less than 2 feet with a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 14 seconds. Sunday out there, the northwest winds 5 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, and a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 13 seconds. KSCO King of the Hill traffic update. I don't have anything to report to you right now. If you see something out there on the roads, give me a call at 475-1080 and I'll report that. Current temperatures, we've got Watsonville at 55 degrees. In Monterey, it's 54. And in Salinas, it's 54. We're at 63 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO studios. Official time, 11:06 and 37 seconds on this Saturday, March 20th, 2010. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special with MZ. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Hey, Kanicki, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. Right, I know on. You've heard it before. You've played it, but wasn't it just as riveting? Are you like me whenever you hear that? Is that a good lecture?
Wahoo!
Yeah, I mean, it's riveting. But maybe you've heard it.
I've heard it too much.
Oh, too much?
Well, I play it every weekend.
Oh, okay. But
you know,
times...
I work here, so you know, people that work here hear it more.
All right, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't mean to jam it down people's throats here, but I know that we have given instructions to play that frequently when we have unsold infomercial time,
yep.
Because and so I realize that it has gotten played a number of times, but it's not ever been played during prime time during the Saturday special or noontime right after rush or whatever.
Prime
and
time.
It's a message given the situation about healthcare, all the debate and talk, so forth. It's going on right now, which is gripping this country. I think it was particularly appropriate to run the program, and I hope people got an awful lot out of that. Hour number two of the Saturday special is going to be an open mic where you I'll throw out some topics here, but you're free to discuss just about anything you want. There is no guest. I'm very interested in what people thought about that lecture, especially people who've heard it for the first time. People who've been listening to KSCO for years certainly have heard Doc Wallach. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie talk radio program is nothing like that lecture that you've just heard last hour. A lot of energy in that lecture, a lot of passion, a lot of good sense. Makes an awful lot of sense. That's why I wanted people to hear it. And it's, as I said, it's very, very different from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie normal program that we have, where people can call in and talk to the doc about his about their health challenges and so forth. And we've been doing that program fresh every day for the last almost 14 years at noontime on KOMY. Anyhow, welcome to your favorite radio station. We didn't even do the hour one normal open or the hour two, so let's do them both now.
Good
okay.
morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Okay, gang, welcome to the Saturday special. We never played the hour number one opening theme music for hour number two, but that's what we're doing today. Give us a call at 479-1080 to say your piece on just about any topic you want. Preferably, if you have comments on what you heard last hour, I'm really interested in what you have to say about that. And if you don't, we can bring up other things. I've got some ideas. Do stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, now just to make it official, just to make it official. You know, I got an email yesterday. It was actually a voicemail that comes to me in the email from the comment line. And when the lady finishes,
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio.
I will relate that to you. I actually have it. I could play it for you, but rather than go searching for it, I'll just sort of encapsulate it for you. Someone was inquiring about whether we have alternate viewpoints to the viewpoint of Kay's whirling on Kay's commentaries, because this person had listened to the commentary that's currently running about Barack Obama. And how the country is about to be changed forever if this thing happens tomorrow, which it probably will, in my opinion. And this person who didn't leave a name I wish people would who call the comment line would leave their names and phone numbers. It's not like an email where it's automatic and you can just hit reply and then you can reply to what they're asking or saying. So I wanted to put it out on the air. And I asked the Good Morning Monterey Bay crew to play that email, and I asked Corey Gold to play. He didn't get the email asking, so Corey didn't play it. But I'm going to talk about it just a little bit here at the beginning of hour number two of the Saturday special today. Person wanted to know, as I said, if there is an alternative viewpoint to that of Kay's Whirlings on KSCO. Now, obviously, the person wasn't listening or doesn't listen to anything other than Good Morning Monterey Bay, or he wouldn't have had to ask that question. We are the most open radio station probably on planet Earth, and we have gone to great pains to install 2 hours a week each weekday called What's Left, and we have a different host from a liberal a political perspective. And it's not as if people can't call Corey Gold or Charlie Friedman or me or anybody and have a totally different point of view from that of my mother, who does the commentaries, which are typically pretty conservatives, although not always. And I just think people need to be reminded, if something is said on the station with which you disagree, pick up the phone and call 479-1080. That's what the radio station is for. So do it, okay? And yes, we certainly do have hosts who have a very, very different perspective from Kay and from other and from Rush Limbaugh and other conservative hosts whom you hear on this station. It's an open mic program. Today, right up until the end of the Saturday special, we're in hour number two. Give us a call and let me know your thoughts about what you heard last hour, or anything else you want to talk about. We're also going to be talking about the census. Andy Anderson sent me a YouTube link that's about 5 minutes long that we're going to play about privacy and personal questions that are being asked by the census takers. And not only are these questions being asked that I think are inappropriate, and they're being asked much more frequently than every 10 years. So 479-1080 and area 831 mz@ksco.com if you want to shoot me an email. And let's see, we've got a number of callers here already. So let's bring Lee and Salinas on and say welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special, League. Go.
Really appreciate hearing Dr. Wallach anytime. I listened to him in 94. I applied what he said in my eating habits. I was born in 47. I would challenge anybody that's listening on this radio. I'll work right alongside of them any day of the week. I used to be asleep on a piece of plywood in Monterey. And I'll tell you what. Right now, Obama's trying to do something that is just crazy. He doesn't know anything about health care. What they're planning to do is it's sick. It isn't going to get the job done, as Dr. Wallach cited here in his program,
in the lecture. That lecture is about a year and a half old here, yeah, and sure. It's just so appropriate. It applies so beautifully that for these times that I think it should be played on every radio station.
Well, I would like to suggest to you, I tell people all the time, but I think once a week you ought to air either half of it on Doc's program. Because I'd like to tell people, hey, look.
Well, you're going to be able. You're going to be able to go to KSCO.com in the next few days, and in a very prominent place, click here to listen to Deadly Recipes any on demand. Oh. Also, even sooner than that, probably even today. I went fishing on the internet to see if deadlyrecipes.com was available, and it was, and I grabbed everything And so deadlyrecipes.com or deadlyrecipes.info, just enter it, you know, starting maybe tomorrow or the next day from any computer in the world, and this, that lecture that you heard should start playing automatically. I can do that myself. I don't need a webmaster to help
me
with that.
Can I just say two things?
Yeah.
One of them that people can't, they got to realize, if they've been drinking coffee, coffee's a diuretic. It will upset Dr. Wallach's minerals. Mm-hmm. I mean, when people are paying $10,000 a joint to get their bones replaced, and then they can't do the lifting that they could when they were from infancy, you have to understand that these minerals that Dr. Wallach's been talking about, they really work.
Yeah, that's
true. And they're part of our body that we need. The other one is...
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten involved in this business, and it's no secret that I and KSCO are actively involved in this business, and I wouldn't have gotten involved if I hadn't watched for 2 years, from 1994 to 96, hundreds and hundreds, and probably into the thousands of people in the KSCO listening audience, take his advice and take his minerals, which cost like $19 for a bottle for that lasts a month. I mean, it's just like nothing.
Well, and one of the one is Suzanne Summers that he's brought in into the picture. A focus. I had a CPA die of cancer. His wife 2 years before that. I had a dear friend, a big influential person in the Salinas Valley here, die of cancer. He should be here today, and the doctors couldn't fix Humpty Dumpty. They're gone.
Yeah.
And I mean, how much does it take to people to get to right now? This healthcare thing, they didn't expose it so everybody could look at it. It does not. It doesn't get down to the components. All it's doing is playing with money. And if you heard this, it's going to be 6 years before it actually goes into business. Look,
but they're going to start collecting money immediately. The day after tomorrow.
Oh, I mean,
or maybe no. It might be Monday or Tuesday before the president can sign the bill.
But
my understanding is that part of it will go into effect immediately. The collecting of the money, not in the form of higher taxes.
He's geared up on it. I mean, look at this census thing. The way it's set up to how it's aggressively going to go after everybody. It is sick. It's not America. It's breaking our freedom. It'll break the back of America if we allow it to continue.
Yeah.
And I one last thing that I think, you know, over here, I would have liked to have gone to a Tea Party thing, but I want to see Democrats and Republicans turn red, white, and blue and say, hey, we've got to do things that we know that will work. Uh-huh. I mean,
The most important thing that I got out of that lecture, and I can listen to it 100 times and pick up something new every time,
yep,
is that you know that classic definition of insanity? You keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. You're an insane person. Well, that's what our country is doing. You know, we're not dealing with the underlying problem, and that is taking care of the body. We're trying to fix it with drugs. It's just disgusting to me that every commercial, if you take away, Nikki and I were talking about this earlier, right? Nikki, if you take away every commercial on network television that doesn't talk about asking your doctor about this particular prescription drug or that, and every commercial that talks about suing somebody for being exposed to something, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. There's nothing left of. There's nothing productive left in this society. The whole fabric of it is decayed into nothing. It's so sad.
Well, one
it's
of the
so
things.
Sad.
If you look at these hospitals, the people that these ranchers that have had a lot of money that have thrown at their situation, and then you look at that Center Disease Control interface from 1990 till now. And then you hear this, you know, when Doc says, trust me, I'm a doctor, you know, thing. And people have got to realize, just like you have an airplane or a vehicle, if you don't change the oil, if that engine isn't remanned properly, it won't give you the life. And people just are trusting people that they can do it with a pill or
And all of the medical doctors aren't bad. And I wish Dr. Wallach wouldn't say bad things about medical doctors when it's really the system.
Well,
you know, it's the pharmaceutical companies that endow the medical colleges. So the doctors don't know anything about nutrition. Well, they don't know anything about supplementation or prevention.
And they don't have the time once they get in their practice to even
exactly.
look outside the box.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame. I mean, so true. I mean, every individual is unique and special and one of a kind.
Right.
And so not to step, but shame on them if they don't look outside the box.
Right. Hey, Lee and Salinas, thanks for calling the Saturday special where it's 23 minutes after 11 a.m. 479-1080 in area 831 or MZ. At KSCO.com is the way to participate in this program. Send me an email, call me on the phone, and we don't have to keep it to health care. If you want to, it's an open mic for the rest of the program, another 36 minutes, 479-1080 or MZ at KSCO.com. Tom in Seaside, you're next.
Hello, Michael.
Hey.
This is off your health. I take Dr. Wallach's products also.
Great.
But at any rate, the lady that called in, that's what I wanted to comment about. She was wondering if you had an opposing point of view to Kay's commentaries.
Right.
I can attest to the fact that you do. Out of 24 hours, there's 2 hours that I don't listen to your radio station. I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I've tried and tried and tried. You know, I've tried to
So let me ask you something, Tom. If you've tried and obviously you don't like what you hear, so why don't you call those programs and offer your perspective to them? If you can't stand listening, why don't you call and add something and try to reason with them or whatever? And that's what I tell people who are liberal to do with Corey and with Charlie.
Right, right.
Well, why don't people do that? Instead, they just say, I can't listen.
Well, it makes my spirit ill. It really does. It just makes my spirit ill.
Mm-hmm.
The one fellow last week at some point, I don't remember what day, was talking about everybody who lies. And according to him, every conservative is just lying their teeth out, yet he will not give any source notes or any source that proves a lie that somebody has told. You know, it's like Glenn Beck. I was standing in Costco one day, and they have a book rack, and a lot of guys were standing around there, and one guy was looking at this book that arguing with idiots, and he was talking to another fellow, and the other guy was obviously a conservative. And he said, this guy lies, 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 lies. And I said, I want you to do one thing for me. I butted into the conversation. I says, find a lie. Find a lie in that book. Just find one and prove it to me. And he shut up. It's things like that, you know.
I still wish everybody, including you, would try to engage in a dialogue. Now, I heard a little piece of Corey's program, I think it was yesterday, and some liberal guy called and was hysterical and wouldn't let Corey talk on his own show. finally Corey hung up on him, I guess. He said, you know, you can't have a dial. You can't just call and scream and rant. I want to have a discussion with you. And people from both sides do that. And it doesn't have to. Why does it? I don't think it needs to be that way.
Well, we're very passionate at this point in our country. At this point in time,
I don't think anybody's happy with what's going on, regardless of what side of the fence you're on. But why can't we just talk about it? You know,
well, that's true.
Civilly.
And I agree with you. I just think that the passion has overtaken us.
Yeah,
we've sat around on our hands for so long, and we're finally woken up, and we have some voice now.
Right.
And I think the passion is just driving us to to that point, Michael. And I'm sorry it's that way.
Yeah.
It gets that way.
I too. Tom, thanks for listening to KSCO. Thanks for calling into the program today. And keep listening.
Oh, you bet.
Okay. That opens up a line at 479-1080. It's 27 minutes past 11 a.m., a little more than a half hour remain in this open mic version of the KSCO Saturday special. We're going to do a little thing about the census here coming up right after this commercial break. And so stay with us. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO MZ, and Nikki James, the pilot in command.
When you have land, you have work to do. When your work gets to be too much, call on me. I'll bring in the equipment. Hello, I'm Bruce McCampbell of Turnpike Development here in Santa Cruz. Turnpike Development has over 34 years clearing, trenching, mulching, preparing, retaining, and grading sites. Turnpike's work is to make your work easy. Listen.
Hi, this is Mark Johnson. I'm a project manager with the local South Bay General Contractor. I hired Bruce McCampbell and Turnpike Development to do my septic tank and leach field system, some on-site electrical service, some water service and tanks for my well, and they did an excellent job. He was organized, he was on time, he was thinking ahead. He was overall easy to work with and had the right price. Absolutely, I'd recommend Bruce.
When your land gets to be too much work, call Turnpike Development. We'll get you a free, no-obligation estimate on what it will take to make your work easy. We are Turnpike Development, 831-818-1712, or turnpikedevelopment.com. Make it easy with Turnpike Development.
For completing your landscape projects on time and on budget, call Swenson's Landscaping at 688-6350. Whether it's a commercial or residential installation, Swenson's Landscaping has been serving the Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay area since 1978. Swenson's Landscaping, your professionals in soil preparation and grading, irrigation and drainage, planting and erosion control, retaining walls and fences, hardscapes including interlocking pavers or flagstone for your walkways, patios, and driveways. Call Swenson's Landscaping at 688-6350. That's 688-6350. Or swensonslandscaping.com. That's swensonslandscaping.com. Put your landscape plans into action. Swenson's Landscaping.
Spring is just around the corner, and your local John Deere dealer, Pringle Tractor, has the perfect equipment to make quick work of your to-do list. For a limited time, Pringle Tractor is offering 0% financing on compact tractors and utility tractors. That's right, 0% financing for 48 months. Make the big jobs look small with a versatile John Deere 2305 compact tractor. This workhorse features a diesel engine and hydrostatic transmission. And with over 80 available attachments and implements, your chores will be done in no time. For those bigger jobs, check out the new lineup of John Deere 5000 series utility tractors. These tractors have the power you need and the features you want. Stop by Pringle Tractor today and let the experts help you find the perfect John Deere to get the job done, and for a limited time get 0% financing for 48 months. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at pringletractor.com. Your local John Deere dealer for over 50 years. Offer ends April 30th, 2010. Some restrictions apply. Other special rates and terms may be available, so see your dealer for details and other financing options. Subject to approved credit on John Deere credit installment plan.
About you, Nikki. You always got the best bumper music that makes me just want to not break into it and let it continue playing forever.
Maybe I should be a music DJ.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Peter Noon. Good Boy, time. Have you ever seen him at the boardwalk?
I don't think I have.
What a great show. He wasn't there last summer, but the two summers, I think, before that, he was.
Oh, cool.
What an amazing showman he is. Yeah. Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits. And hopefully he will be at the boardwalk for the series of bandstand summertime concerts coming up this summer, which is not too far away. Here it is, the middle of March, past the middle of March already. 479-1080, it's the Saturday special open mic with MZ. And Brian in Monterey, you're on the air.
Yes, Michael. I want to thank you for being a resource for common sense in the Monterey Bay area. I enjoy your mother's humor. I like your balance, and I like your business model for running the station. I think you offer a lot to the community. Regarding the previous gentleman's comments about the liberal commentator, I think the most bothersome aspect of that, for me certainly, is that he's unable to give any citations for his sources and argument.
Uh-oh, Brian, I think we're losing your cell phone. Oy vey. Yep, there, Brian's gone. This is terrible. Well, I don't. Well, hopefully he'll call back. He'll get to a better cell site. No other callers. So if you want to call us, it's 479-1080 in area 831. And if you want to email us, it's 47. No, excuse me. It's mz@ksco.com. But let's play this very interesting census thing here.
Seem to want more and more personal information every time they fan out into our neighborhoods. The Census Department wants us to think that we have some duty to cooperate with them, sort of like jury duty or something. I wanted to find out for all of our beloved viewers exactly what you are and are not required to tell a government agent who knocks on your door. I called the Census Bureau Media Relations Department, and I asked for a telephone interview. They said they would schedule the interview, and they asked for my questions in advance.
Send me those questions?
They looked at my questions and refused to answer them, and they reneged on the telephone interview. Maybe the questions were too hard. I'll read you those questions in a moment, but first you may be surprised to know some of the questions that they will be asking you sometime soon. They'll be asking you about your disabilities, how much income you receive, where you get your income from, your housing costs, how many cars you own, how much you pay for insurance, if you receive food stamps, how much you pay for utilities. They'll be asking you things that you would not tell a stranger. In my view, if they have a clipboard and a certificate from the Census Bureau, they are still strangers. You may know that the Constitution allows the government to count us once every 10 years. For some reason, the Census Bureau has recently started counting us and collecting information about us every year, all year around. I'm not sure why, because the Constitution does not authorize them to do that. Remember that to interact with you in any way, government must have constitutional authorization for that. But we as citizens have simply been lax for the last couple of hundred years at demanding proof of authority before handing over our information, our money, our power, and our liberty to government. So I think since we've fallen behind in limiting the encroachment of government on our wealth and privacy, maybe the census would be a good place to start to let the government know that we know that they are not authorized to demand our cooperation in the contrived schemes they come up with for information gathering. If they claim they do have the authority to gather your private information, show them a copy of the Constitution and ask them to show you the part that authorizes them to demand private information from you. Videotape their responses. Let's see if we can make a few thousand YouTube videos of census takers stammering and lying. Here are some of my questions that the Census Bureau Media Relations Department chose not to answer. The Constitution authorizes government to count people, but it does not authorize the taking of private information or even the names of individuals. From where does the Census Bureau derive authority to demand our private information? No answer. Is there any limit to the amount and the type of private information that the Census Bureau may demand and collect? No answer. Under what constitutional authority does the Census Bureau collect information now from 250,000 people every month of every year? No answer. The Fourth Amendment to the Constitution prohibits government search and seizure of private information without a court warrant based on probable cause. Current census policies violate that amendment, do they not? No answer. By what constitutional authority does the Census Bureau threaten penalties for failure to provide personal information? No answer. The Census Bureau claims it maintains privacy of personal information. Are there any circumstances under which law enforcement or spy agencies can access census information? No answer. Since presumably census data may be subpoenaed by law enforcement, may individuals refuse to answer questions according to the Fifth Amendment? No answer. Why has the Census Bureau decided to collect GPS coordinates for every home? No answer. Virtually every government database has either been lost, hacked, or compromised. Would the Census Bureau's claim of data security not be an outright lie, or at best, highly improbable? No answer. How would the Census Bureau locate, protect, and compensate those individuals whose data becomes compromised? No answer. Well, I can answer a lot of those questions for them. Unless the Census Bureau can show you their constitutional authority, you don't have to even open the door for them. When they come to my door, it will be the census taker who will be answering the questions. I'm Jerry Day. This is Matrix News Network.
And that was from jerryday.com. You can go to YouTube and do a search, and you can find it, or send me an email requesting. I'll send you a link so that you can play that whenever you want. Should be pretty easy for you to Google and find on your own, though. I want to thank Andy Anderson for sending that to me. It's been something I've been thinking about for years. I don't like... is it just me? Am I the only person who thinks it's probably quite inappropriate for the government to be asking those kinds of probing questions? Is it only me who is irritated when someone knocks on my door to sell me something or to survey me about something without first getting permission, much like you have to give even to for someone to email you? Their spam laws are pretty strict these days, as they should be. Why is it that when the government knocks on your door to ask you census questions, they seem to be immune? And where are these questions other than how many people live here? Just a count. Isn't that what a census is supposed to be? Nikki and I were talking about that earlier. Where do all these other questions come into play? I just don't understand it. And am I the only person who will not answer those questions? 479-1080. Give us a call. It's the Saturday special, hour number two, open mic. Let's see, got some people on the phone here. Bob in Hollister, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on.
Well, hello there. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
You bet.
I just wanted to, address what you were just talking about, but also introduce myself. I am a candidate for assembly for the 28th District, which includes part of the Monterey Bay Area, all of San Benito County, parts of Santa Cruz and Monterey County,
okay,
and some Santa Clara County. And what you're talking about with the census there is, you're right on, and it's just indicative about how large our government has really become. Even here in the state of California, government is just too large. There's too many committees. There's too many offices that are doing things that sound real good to themselves but are costing us huge amounts of money and really do violate a lot of our rights and liberties and it's time that we start shutting that down.
Mm-hmm. By refusing to participate?
Well, I think that we should be counted. I mean, there's lots of valid reasons to do that.
Sure, I agree.
Count one thing, asking that personal data that goes in the databases that is going to be subject to use by who knows what?
So I guess there's nothing requiring, you know, ordering people to answer those personal questions. I guess what we're putting out on this program, what I'm putting out, and I'm not going to advise anybody. I'm just going to tell people how I feel about those kinds of questions. And here's how I feel. It's none of your effing business. So get out of my face. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and...
Okay? I'm not advising other people to say that, although I wish they would, because if enough people would, then maybe this country would get back to what it used to be like. You know,
well, I'll tell you.
At least semi-free, right?
Well, anybody that knows Rob Bernofsky knows two words from my mouth, and that is fight back.
Okay.
And again, don't get me wrong. I am not some zealot that is protesting all the time and things along those lines. But people have been putting up with, well, the government's telling me to, so I guess I should.
Right.
Fight back. Don't answer the question. See what happens. Because a lot of times what you find out is, there is no penalty for.
And by the way, yeah, it's just a fear mongering, fear tactic. But that's what I think. But I don't know for sure. Maybe they can get you. I mean, I was told years ago by listening to hosts on KSCO that you don't have to give a social security number when you're renewing your driver's license because it's not supposed to be used for identification at all. And when they asked me when I went to renew my driver's license one day, they said, "What's your social security number?" And I said, "I'm not going to tell you that. You don't have any right to know that for this purpose." They said, "Okay, you don't have to tell us. You're not going to get a driver's license. Take that." And I said,
"Well, good.
Oh,
good for you. Yeah, okay. But then I said,
they didn't arrest me or anything. They just said, we're not going to give you a driver's license if you're not going to give us your social security number. So I thought it over, and I guess I was a wuss because I gave it to them. Because I didn't want to fight. I just didn't want to fight.
Right, and that's
now, here's something else that happened having to do with the census. This happened about, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 months ago. I have a fence around my property about, you know, it's a pretty big piece of property and a gate. And, you know, people, if I know they're coming, you know, I either give them the gate code or I buzz them in or whatever. My doorbell rang and I opened the door and it was this person who said he was from the census and that he was here to just let me know that he was going to be coming back to ask me some questions one of these days. And I said, I was being interrupted from something, a real important phone conversation or something. I was a little unnerved, but I should have just forgotten about my phone call and said, "Who the hell do you think you are for climbing over the fence? How did you get in? There's a gate and it's closed. So obviously these people are trained to hop fences or do whatever they can if they have if there's a residence that has a gate. That's what a gate means. It's private.
Yeah.
You're not welcome unless you press the button and you tell me who you are and I decide to admit you.
Yeah, well, no.
And the more I think about it, the more scary it is. And I just said, "Oh, okay," and I shut the door, and the guy went away, and I said, "Now that is really strange. Why didn't I blast the guy?" You know, I was really mad at myself. Anyhow, is it Rob? Rob Bernocchi?
Bob Bernocchi.
Bernocchi. Okay.
You can read about me on my website at 28district.com or VoteBernocchi.com.
Okay, don't forget us when it comes to advertising for your candidacy, okay?
Well, in fact, that's on my list for Monday morning.
That'd be great. We would love to help you. We would love to help you, okay? You take care. Thanks. Bye-bye. Gene in Scotts Valley, welcome to the Saturday special.
Thank you. Michael, I have a solution for those who are perhaps fainted heart about not responding to the census.
I love that.
If you read it carefully, all of the questions on the census form say, as of April 1st, 2010, how many people reside, and it goes from there. So all you need to do is put down, I don't know.
Yeah, because April 1st, 2010 is now still in the future.
Yes,
so what? I mean, so on April 2nd, you know, it will be in the past.
Yeah,
what you're saying, Gene? I'm taking issue with this whole thing. Who do these people think they are? Just because they're with the government?
But just think if everyone would do that. What a lump it would put in their whole program. One of the things that frustrated me is we got a letter 1 week before saying, we're going to be sending you this stuff. That went out to 120 million households. If it cost 40 cents a piece that's still $48 million.
Right. Not counting the cost of printing and everything. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even. I'm throwing printing in because I assume that the Census Bureau gets some kind of huge discount on postal service.
Oh, okay.
But but by the time they put the whole thing together, they spent say $50 million round numbers on a piece of paper that says we're going to send you something.
Yeah.
And Super Bowl ads on radio, TV, and newsprint. It is just bizarre, absolutely bizarre.
Right. Hey, well, thank you very much for calling, Gene.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Let's see. We got a caller on line one that's ringing, but here's Dick in Capitola, our next caller. Dick, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Yeah, I'm one of these that's not paranoid about giving information, but I think we have to drive government back. Let me back up, because the purpose of census is to count people, and we get genealogical help considerably by the census of 1910 or 1920, whatever. But all it did was say names and ages and gender. And so my take on it is I'm not going to tell financial information or things like that. There are plenty of those things are being taken care of already, Gallup polls and all kinds of different things. They know what our median price for sale of homes every month and all that kind of thing. So people like Sam Farr, who's probably going to make his socialized medicine vote this weekend, would say, well, it helps them better represent the people. They know who we are, and so I don't want to allow government to continue to encroach. It's kind of like mold. The more...
yeah.
Or camel's nose.
Exactly. Yeah. The longer you don't pay attention to it, the harder it gets to get rid of it. So.
So I think we have to push it back.
I agree. Thank you very much, Dick. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Here's Chris in Watsonville. Welcome to KSCO AM 1080. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, MZ?
Well, you tell me.
But the census was just here, like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it was only 10 questions, and they were real basic questions. No, nothing weird or anything like that. It was just, you know.
Well, give me an example of everything. What beyond how many people live here, and what are their ages?
It was just like the ages, how many people live here, sex, nationality, whatever, race, you know. And that was about it, really. But I haven't seen anything on this 35 question thing that they're supposed to give you too. Another one I heard was something with 35 questions on it. You know, that's supposed to have all kinds of crazy questions that we understand. But this one, it was just 10 questions that she came in and I talked. It was really basic. It was,
and the thing that comes in the mail says your participation is mandatory.
Yeah, $5,000 fine if you don't.
Is that what it says?
Yep.
I didn't read that far.
$5,000 fine if you don't. They say, but I don't know how tight they're going to be.
If someone, what happens if you don't respond? And you get a $5,000 fine, and you just decide not to pay it. Then what happens?
I don't know. I'd rather do some time in jail than pay that, to tell the truth. You know, I can take jail time. That ain't nothing.
Wow.
I'm limited. I only get $480 a month right now. I'm trying to live on it. It's pretty hard to live on $480. I mean, she did
jail might be better for you. Yeah, I could understand.
And
okay.
She did her interview standing away from 100 marijuana plants, 10 feet away from 100 marijuana plants. She was standing.
Oh, where do you live?
She didn't even know they were there.
Oh,
you know?
Never mind.
But, okay. But yeah, you know,
somewhere
I'm legal. You know?
Okay, Chris.
But you have to grow it in order to get.
So your point is, from your experience thus far with the census, it ain't no big deal.
It ain't no big deal from the 10 questions that I heard, but I heard there's another one with 35 questions that's got some crazy stuff on it.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, maybe someone else will call in and fill us in.
Yeah, maybe somebody asked some other questions, but they were just really simple, basic, no biggie. I didn't feel like I was getting snooped on or nothing.
Appreciate it. We've got 10 minutes remaining. We got a number of phone calls, and we have a four-minute commercial break. But let's take one. Thank you, Chris. Carol in Live Oak, welcome to the Saturday special on KSCO.
Hi, MZ.
Hey.
when I filled out my census the last time, because I felt their questions were intrusive, I put down the number of people in the house and just put not applicable on all the rest of the questions, so I did answer them, but I put N slash A.
And how long ago was that?
The last time the census was around, 10 years ago.
Oh, okay, because I've seen census things way more much more recently than 10 years ago. That's another thing that's happening there. I thought it was supposed to be every 10 years, and it's every year or two, it seems, you know.
Well, this time I also did the same thing.
Uh-huh. And you're still here. No one has levied the death penalty on you, so I guess.
If you're supposed to answer the questions, you answer the questions.
Right.
So I answered the questions.
Okay.
We'll
all righty.
See what happens.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your call. You take care.
Bye.
That was Carol in Live Oak. Let's do the commercial break, Nikki, here, and then we will come back with our remaining callers on this Saturday special edition. So take it away.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going to the Giant TS Gun Show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose this weekend. At the Giant TS Gun Show, the tough will find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, accessories, and much, much more. Get tough and go early to the Giant TS Gun Show for the best deals this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person, and children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. When the going gets tough, you'll find everything you need to get tough at the Giant TS Gun Show this weekend only at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose. Go early, stay late, and meet all your tough friends at the Giant TS Gun Show.
In spring, a man's thoughts turn to golf. And Pro Golf of Santa Cruz is going to help your thinking with a red-hot spring swing sale. Go to Pro Golf of Santa Cruz today and get in on spring swing clearance prices on Cobra, TaylorMade, Titleist, Adams, Mizuno, Ping, and Odyssey. Get woods and irons and the bags to carry them in. Pro Golf of Santa Cruz is clearing out the old to bring in the new. Which means great clearance prices on top-to-bottom golf clothing, headwear, outerwear, shirts, gloves, and shoes. And hey, win closest to the pin at Pro Golf's indoor driving range and take home a pair of Sharks tickets from your friends at KSCO. Hurry, the spring swing sale ends soon at Pro Golf of Santa Cruz. Gateway Plaza on River Street. Phone 831-426-GOLF. 831-426-4653.
Hi folks, Warren Knox here. How many folks out there are planning to grow a garden this year? Well, with all the rains this year and the weeds, preparing your soil to grow anything will be challenging. Unless you grow the things you like in a Knox Garden Box. I've been building the Knox Garden Box now for 40 years, and I can tell you it sure makes gardening fun and easy. Built locally here. And if it's green you're into, there's nothing more green than sticking your fingers in the soil and growing your own food. We'll show you how easy it is. For information on the Knox Garden Box, you can knoxgardenbox.com us, call us at 461-9430, or visit our showroom in Scotts Valley. We'll be at most home and garden shows throughout the state. Look us up. We can deliver just about anywhere. So if Mom in Minnesota loves to garden, we'll ship it right to her front door. Okay, thanks, folks.
Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric and ask for your Think Local First discount of $25. 425-1407.
Okay, we're in the home stretch of the Saturday special for today. What is today's date? Oh, golly gee, according to the iPhone, it's Saturday, March 20th in the year of our Lord, 2010. MZ here. Here's an email from Andy Anderson. Hi, ask your audience this question. There are only two groups of people who can take your life, liberty, and property from you. Do you know who they are? See if anyone can answer. Okay, well, let's see. We've got, we're down to three callers and about 4 minutes or less left. So let's go back to the calls here and go to next caller, which will be Richard, our friend Richard N. Watsonville. Richard, do you know the answer to that question?
I would say the military and your health.
No. Incorrect. But what did you call about?
I called about when you got invaded on your property.
Yeah.
Somebody, they didn't come through the gate. They actually went over the fence. Huh?
That's the only way, because the gate was closed, and there's a fence around the entire property.
And then you felt like you wanted to blast them away or at least say to go F yourself, huh?
Blast them. Well, I didn't mean shoot them to kill or anything. Yeah, I just said blast them. I said, who do you think you are coming here?
That's where
there was a gate.
I didn't say that, but after
I shut the door, I thought that I should have said that.
Well, I would have thought that. I would have been scared to death.
Yeah.
You know, someone was on your property. You didn't know. Is it illegal if you don't answer your door even?
I think there's a law that's pending. Yeah. In fact, I've been here. Can this be true? This might just be a ridiculous, you know, rumor that I shouldn't even perpetuate. Is it true that the Democrats are thinking about suspending the elections June and November?
Yeah.
And people say, well, that's unconstitutional. They can't do that. Well, that's never stopped them from doing anything that they've been doing before.
Yeah, but look at before this administration, the administration right before it. Oh, Dick Cheney, get down there in the Senate, tell one of the other senators to go F themselves, huh?
Okay.
That's where we're at, Mike.
I know.
You go through the DMV to register to vote, don't you?
Well, you can there, I think.
No,
that's not true.
It's the motor voter bill, man.
It's
the motor voter bill.
Oh, my God. Richard, I promised I would talk to everybody else. Thank you for calling. Right. Well, you got to call earlier next time. Annalise and Soquel, you're on the air.
Yes. As far as do you have to answer the door, no, you don't.
Okay.
You are not obliged by law. I know that because my husband is a legal expert.
Okay.
So that is that. And you might have to answer it for firemen or a policeman, but they have to identify themselves. I just had them here, I think, at my home. I wasn't sure if it was them or a religious group that often come in suits, but I presumed from the way they looked that it was them. I looked out. I saw who it was. It was not somebody I knew. I didn't answer the door.
Okay, so, yeah, and of course, I would say, whether you're supposed to answer the door or not, I wouldn't if I didn't feel like. I want to thank you for calling. We've got to go to our last caller. That's Tammy in Boulder Creek, and you got about 20 seconds, Tammy. Go.
Hey, it's all about tort reform. The lawyers are going to make a boon off of this. 37 states are already filing suit to overturn the work that they're doing when trying to pass this horrendous
bill.
That's
what it's all about. It's all about lawyers having a field day, you know, in the whole country.
Michael, as a... Our good friend Shakespeare would say, it's ridiculous. It's all just money for them. It's been money for the banks. It's money for the, you know, Illuminati. They're just running everything, chemtrailing us constantly into submission. You know, look at the barium, the aluminum, the fluoride, 60% of Alzheimer's patients. It's aluminum. They're killing us.
Yeah, that was a great program that Rob did last week. Anyhow, that's the end of the show. Thank you for calling, Timmy. Tammy, have a good one.
That's all, folks.
You're listening to KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley.
Anti-health care reform activists outside the Capitol chanting kill the bill as inside Democrats continue their scramble to nail down the votes necessary to pass the Senate health care reform bill tomorrow. As for Republicans,
this health care bill will ruin our country. It's time to stop it.
House Minority Leader John Boehner, who also used the word Armageddon to describe his belief of the effects of passing health care. As for the Democrats, party leaders are saying they're not likely to make a deal with a group of Democratic abortion opponents who want tougher restrictions on abortion funding than are in the Senate bill.
The Senate language is not great, but it is far better than Stupak, and it is my intention to make certain that we do not roll back rights for women.
Democrat Janet Harmon. Meanwhile, the House Rules Committee is setting up the parameters for tomorrow's vote. A little while ago, committee members began rethinking using the complicated process called deem and pass to get the bill through.
The problem that they have on this particular gambit is with the most liberal members of their caucus. They don't like the Senate bill at all. They don't think it goes nearly far enough. They certainly didn't think that the House bill was good enough, and they really don't like the Senate bill. But if they think they have the votes for the overall resolution, then maybe they can do that. And that's why it's being discussed in the whip meeting, which is where they count the votes.
Fox's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill. And there's one more element. President Obama is due to address House Democrats at the Capitol any minute now in one last effort to persuade wavering representatives to vote yes. At this minute, though, there's still a vote scheduled for tomorrow, and the Democrats still, at last count, had 217 yes votes, one more than they need. The flooding threat in Fargo, North Dakota, diminishing. A new estimate of the Red River's flood crest tomorrow, indicating preparations to contain the water, may be working. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Gore Vidal is best known as an American novelist and known as one of the most prominent liberal public intellectuals of the 20th century. Here is Vidal in the early 60s on the political state of art in the U.S.
You're born into a society and you are shaped by it, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Each of us is born into a prison of received opinion, of superstition, and of prejudices. Now, one of the functions of art is to try and define the prison. A, the artist must know he's in it, and many of them don't, and those are the bad artists. They just take it for granted. This is the way things are. They don't know that there are worlds, as Shakespeare said, there is a world elsewhere. They don't see anything past these bars. The prison is going to break you eventually, but you can at least get a look out. And it's the look out that is art.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Well, it's a busy weekend in Washington, and not just because of the health care reform battle.
This year's first spring-like weekend has inspired just about every D.C. resident and tens of thousands of visitors to get out and about. Thousands of Tea Party activists have been outside the Capitol protesting the health care bill. Thousands more have gathered near the White House to protest the continued U.S. presence in Iraq and Afghanistan and mark the 7th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And Sunday sees thousands more marching and calling for comprehensive immigration reform. In crowded Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
London's Heathrow and Gatwick airports in upheaval as cabin crews for British Airways began a three-day strike, disputing a pay freeze and changes in working conditions. Their union says the airline didn't inform it of the cost-cutting plan. 1,000 flights have been canceled over this three-day period. Police in Washington Township, New Jersey, say they've nabbed the person who commandeered the intercom at a Walmart last Sunday night, telling all black people to leave the store. They say it was a teenage boy who did it, a 16-year-old.